You remember our Lord had been talking about His first and second coming. His first coming was when He came to set up His spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God within you, and how that He would come suddenly, like lightning, quickly. But before that second coming, He must suffer and be rejected to save His people and be rejected. And then that when He came, how that the people would be separated, the just from the unjust. One would be taken, one would be left. One would be taken, one would be left. One would be, and how He would separate them, and as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. Well, then He comes to tell us here, and this is so appropriate. He comes to tell us about prayer, about prayer. And He said, men always, and He spake a parable unto them, and this was the goal for it. It's the purpose to speak this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now He knew, He don't even know, He said that no one knows the time or the hour of the Son of Man but the Father. And it would be a while before He came back. And while we were left here, we're to pray and not to faint. Because we'd be waiting so long for His coming. Waiting and waiting and waiting is what He's saying here, that you know I may not come in your lifetime. But you got to pray. Pray, pray, and not to faint, not give up, because I've not yet arrived. And I tell you, my Lord Jesus spake this parable. Parable about the unjust judge and the widow. Talking about prayer. Pressing in prayer. Never giving up in prayer. Never fainting in prayer. Staying with prayer until you get an answer. And our Lord, this one statement here right at the beginning. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In this few words is so much instruction. So much instruction. See, and our Master gives the precept of prayer. Then He gives us, illustrates it for us. Gives us five people that's praying in this chapter. First of all, there's the widow. There's the praying widow. It says that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was this widow in that city. And she came unto Him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He said, I'm not going to do it. But after a while, he thought within himself, I don't even fear God, and I certainly don't regard man. I don't put one man above another. Can't be bribed. Yet because this widow just will not let me alone, she's wearying me, she's wearing me out, I'm going to avenge her. And then our Lord says, you listen to what he's saying. You pay attention to what he's saying. This is the way we are to be in prayer. She didn't faint. That judge put her off and put her off and put her off and put her off and put her off. And finally she troubled him and aggravated him so much, he said, I'm going to avenge her so I can get this over with. And shall not God avenge His elect? Those that's been mistreated, those that's been abused, those that's been suffering in this world, which cry, this is here we go back to prayer again, which cry day and night unto Him. And then not only do you have this praying widow, you got a praying Pharisee in verse 10. To a praying Pharisee and a praying publican. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And that publican down in verse 13, the only prayer that he has mentioned is, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Then in verse 18, there's five praying people in this that our Lord gives us as example. In verse 18, we have a ruler who's praying. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Asking him, praying, tell me. And then we got blind Bartimaeus down here in verse 38, sat by the wayside begging. And he cried when Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So our Lord said, all men ought to pray. Pharisee, publican, widow, ruler, beggar. It don't make no all men ought always to pray. Ought to pray. And let me just make a few comments about praying. And next week I'll deal with something else out of his. But prayer is something that's real. It's something that's real. And it's a real thing that real people do out of need, out of necessity. And prayer is of an intrinsic value. It's got a value that you cannot place a value on. It's intrinsic in itself. The value is in itself. You know, look in Hebrews 11:6. We quote this all the time, but look at it with me. Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at this together. You know, we don't... I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I said, you know, in fact, I said this, if I was something wrong with me, real bad wrong with me, I'd want a good doctor. I'd rather have the prayers of God's people for me than a doctor. And I was talking to an eye surgeon just Sunday, an eye surgeon, where I pray on eyes all day long on Wednesday. He says, my mother prays for me all day while I'm in surgery. And I said, yeah, I said, that's what we do. So we pray for the surgeon more than we pray for the person being prayed on, because we pray, God, you give that surgeon. He said, that's exactly right. The person doing the operating needs the prayer. To be steady, to be calm, to do the right job, to not mess up. And this is a surgeon that says, we need prayer. And my mother prays for me. And so you see, beloved, there's intrinsic value in this business of prayer. And we don't know exactly how much prayer does and what God does in answering prayer. But I do know this, that I would rather have the prayers of God's people on this earth as to have all the silver and gold that they are. And I mean that from the depth of my soul, because I have found out what prayer really means. What it really means. Here is in Hebrews 11:6. Look what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now watch this. And that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently. What do they do to him? Diligently seek him. Pray to him. Call on him. Run after him. Now that is the reward of those that diligently seek him. What does that mean? That means that he fulfills his promise. I give you a promise and I'll keep that promise. Amen. We tell our children if they do this, that, and the other, that we'll reward them. We'll give them what we promised. And that's why God says, you seek me diligently. Set your affection on me. Set your heart on me. Set your life on me. And you set your life to seeking me, calling on me, trusting me. And I'll keep my promises. My promises will be your reward. That's what he told Abram. Abraham, I am thy exceeding and great reward. I want a child. I'm your exceeding great reward. The promise that's in me. All the promise. And you know what the promises are in Christ? And all of God's promises are in him. And you can look it up yourself. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, all the promises of God are in him. Life, justification, righteousness, forgiveness, grace, faith, repentance, everything we need that God promises us, eternal life, is in Christ. All the promises are in him, and they are yea. Yes. And not only that, but amen. Let it be so. No wavering about it. And all beloved, before you and I were converted, we prayed to who? To what? I have no idea. Made a lot of noise. Done a lot of hollering. Done a lot of screaming. One getting louder than the other. Before we were converted, we prayed to actually nobody. Now we pray to God. We say, Our Father. Our Father. Which art in heaven, the Spirit itself bears witness to thy Spirit. We're the children of God. Our Father which art in heaven. First words, next words is hallowed, holy be your name. Now that's how we address him, our Father, our God. That's what led you. God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all our Lord said, he said, your God, my God is your God, and your Father is my Father. Oh, we have the same one. And so prayer is something that's real. It's not just words. It's not just taking up space. It's not just taking up time.
No, sir.
It's actually conversing with God. It's real. Has intrinsic value to it. Because God rewards those that diligently seek him. And prayer is a simple thing. It is so simple. There's no mysteries here. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Two men went up to the temple to pray. This widow sought that judge. No mysteries here. Any child can pray. Any child. It's a simple thing. You go through the scriptures and look at the men who prayed. They didn't use great bit. Did this God be merciful to me, a sinner? Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Elijah, when he prayed, 63 words before fire fell from heaven. 63 words. It's not the length of our prayers. It's not the amount of words we use in our prayers. It's the desire of our heart. It's just the plain offering up of our desires, our hearts, and our souls unto God. It's going to Him, asking Him, desiring Him, because we feel a need. It's a need that we have. And we come when we have our need because we believe that we can receive. That's why they said, be merciful to me. Why did he believe he'd receive? Mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Why did he say that? He needed mercy. And we go out of need. Our heart's desires cry out of need. And so prayer is a simple thing. Don't have to be dressed up. Don't have to be dressed up. In fact, I think that the most simplest and worshipful prayers that a person offers, myself, this is my feeling, this is my opinion, is when a person in his heart and his soul, the old timers called it ejaculatory prayer. That's when just there's a need arising. You just feel this great desire, this great need, and all of a sudden your heart just reaches out immediately. Just, you know, something comes up, something happens, and your heart just goes up. Immediately just rushes to the presence of God. No planning on it. It's just there. The need arises and you immediately go. And oh, it's a real thing. It's a simple thing. And it's a desirable thing. Ain't that what our Lord said here? He said men ought to pray. Ought to pray. Ought always to pray. You reckon a man ought to work? Man ought to eat. Man ought to sleep. Man ought to rest. Man ought to worship. Our Lord said, you ought to pray. You ought to pray. Huh? You know, prayer is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. I know people now, they're trying to stop folks from praying at football games and benediction blessings and I guess probably that's all right. I don't know. I really don't know about that. You know, the Lord don't let these fellows kill one another or whatever. But you know, prayer is not something that can be stopped, and it's not something that can be taught. It's just something that you do. It's just something that's real. It's something that comes from you. It's something that can't. That's why men that don't even have tongues can still pray. That's why people who's blind can still see the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That woman, Fanny Crosby, wrote all them hymns. Blind, blind, blind. She wrote some of the most unbelievable amount of hymns she's written. Glorious hymn, beautiful hymn. She never saw, but how could she write hymns? How could she write about God so gloriously? How could she talk about, I need thee, oh I need thee? How could she write about blessed assurance? How could she write these things? She never saw him. Same way you and I see him, by faith. And that's the way we pray. It's something that just, and men ought to do it. Men ought to do it. It's the right thing to do. What it is coming before God, being honest before God. And that's one place you've got to be honest. We may not have to be honest with one another, but we can smile at one another and grin at one another. And somebody asks you a question, you can quick say, well, I just don't know if I want to answer. You know, but when it comes before God, we don't have to be honest there. That's what prayer does. It brings you to honesty before God. It brings you to acknowledge God. Your dependence on Him. Your need of Him.
acknowledge Him to be omnipotent, to be sovereign, to be glorious, all-powerful, full of grace, full of mercy, full of pity, full of long-suffering. We acknowledge God. Oh, Lord, You're holy. Lord, thank You for Your long-suffering. Thank You that You're God and beside You there's none other. Thank You that You, in sovereign mercy, come and saved me.
And men ought to honor God.
Prayer honors God. Come to God and honor Him. Bless Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Thank Him.
And you know, some people are not... And Clay told me about his... A friend of his father just died last Friday, Friday before last. And he called Clay and asked him to pray for him and wanted him to hear his preaching. And when he got sick, he found out he had cancer. And he was a gambler, gambled lots and lots of money, made lots of money, gambled away, drunk hard, lived a pretty rough life. Got cancer, found out he got cancer. Well, his son went to him and asked him, said, Daddy, you know, or Grandpa, as his grandpa too, said, Granddad, said, you're fixed to go into eternity. You're sick, you're going to die. They gave you 3 months. Let's start seeking the Lord. Let's get some tapes and let you listen to some tapes. Let's start seeking the Lord. And you know what he said? It's what he said. He said, I've lived a hard life. I've drunk all I wanted to drink, gambled all I wanted to gamble, done what I wanted to do. And I'd be a hypocrite to turn to the Lord now when I'm in, just get ready to die and then turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. That wouldn't be a manly thing to do. What if that thief on the cross felt like that? But he went into eternity like that. He died that was on a... God didn't grant him repentance. That's exactly right. One went, some men go out into eternity cussing God. Others go out into eternity blessing Him. And prayer. Prayer. Call it on God. It's a, you know, lifting up your face to God. What a wonderful thing to do. Lift up your face to God. Oh, let's say, God, cause Your face to shine on me. Let me see Your countenance. Calling on God. Look over here in 1 Timothy 2 with me just a minute. 1 Timothy 2. You know, that's... That prayer is a wonderful example to our children, to our neighbors. Mr. Spurgeon attributed the success of his ministry to men and women praying for him. They'd gather in the basement at the tabernacle and pray for him, pray for his messages, pray for his ministry. And he says, it's those people praying and holding me up. He says in verse 8 here, 1 Timothy 2, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands. Without wrath, without doubting. Not being angry. Don't come before God angry. Angry with somebody else. Aggravated at somebody. Don't come with wrath in your heart wanting God to get vengeance for you. Don't come doubting whether He's going to hear you or not. Come before Him lifting up your hearts. Lifting up your hands, lifting up your soul, lifting up your face. Everywhere you are. Every day, every hour, lift them up. Don't go and say, oh God, get even with this one. Get even with that. That's what that widow does. She said, oh, avenge me of my enemy. God said, all of it, vengeance is mine. I repay, saith the Lord. We don't say, God, do this, that, and the other. No, no. Let me first... You know, when you ask a man about praying, a praying man, you ask him about something, you'll say, well, let me need to pray about it first. But nowadays, you know what people say? I'll have a good thought for you. I'll have a good thought for you. That's about as extended of religion. Somebody fixed to have something serious, we're going to have a good thought for you. Oh, my. And prayer, beloved, is a constant thing. It's a constant thing. Our Lord said men ought always, always to pray. But what does He mean, ought always to pray? Well, not by fits and starts and fits and spurts. You know, you get in an old car and it goes to missing. You go along and it'll run a little bit. And that's what He's saying. You're not, don't pray like your car runs. Don't start and stop. Don't start and stop. I'm going to start praying and stop. Take spurts. You know, it's like hearing the gospel. It doesn't hear the gospel fairly regular for a month, and then lay out for 2 or 3 months. I just, you know, that's what He says. Prayer, men ought always to pray. Not in fits and spurts. Not just when you see the storm gathering. Don't wait till trouble starts. That's what the world does. They wait to get in jail, then they start praying. They wait to get... What they talk about in World War II, foxhole religion. Foxhole religion called on God when the bombs started falling. Bombs quit falling, they come up out of there and say, "Woo, we escaped that time, didn't we?" That's the way it is. A house built in a storm will be forsaken when the sun comes out. And people want God when the bombs are falling. But when the bombs stop and the shrapnel stop, then they don't need God anymore. And that's why He said men ought always to pray. That's not the way we're going to do our... We're going to call on God always. We're going to look to the Lord always. I'm not waiting for trouble to come. Trouble's all around us. We don't have to wait for it to come. It's here. And that's why we need the Lord. That's why we call. That's why we look to it. That's trouble. Our children's in trouble. My mother's in trouble. My brother's sister's in trouble. My neighbor's in trouble. Trouble all around us. Health problems. We always pray. And not only ought always to pray, but always keep on praying. Keep on praying. Just like we keep on desiring to know God. Keep on desiring God. And the old timers used to talk about exercising their soul. How do you exercise your soul? The same way you exercise the rest of your body. You exercise your soul towards God. You move your soul towards God. You exercise your soul towards God for faith. Oh Lord, I need faith. I want faith. I desire faith. We exercise our soul for grace. Exercise our soul for growth and strength. Who has strength for the day? Who can take... And how many times we get in situations and we need strength. You know, strength to witness, strength to stand, strength when the bad news comes, strength when we're in a situation where we want to do one thing and we know it's not right to do it. Oh, God, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Oh, exercise your soul in these things. And prayer, beloved, not only is real, simple, desirable, the right thing to do, constant thing, but it's also a testing thing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. I suppose that this is one of the easiest things in the world to grow weary in is in prayer. You know, we sang that old, I forget which song it is, it says, you know, oh, the delight to be in thy presence, for spend an hour in thy presence. Sweet hour of prayer, something like that, where we spend a whole hour in our prayer. When's the last time any of us in here spent a whole hour in the presence of God praying? Been a while, ain't it? But I tell you, beloved, and I'm not saying that we should. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I don't, you know, to set a time and a method of prayer, that wouldn't be prayer. That wouldn't be prayer to say, well, I'm going to set aside this time because I'm going to spend, you know, you got to put this much time in before the Lord. I don't see that's, you know, a method to it. That wouldn't be prayer. But still yet, it's one of the easiest things in the world to grow weary in. It is. In this well-doing of prayer, so easy to grow weary and feel like it's not doing any good. That's the way this widow woman was. She didn't grow weary. She just kept on coming. She just kept on coming. A widow woman in that city, she came unto him, that judge. He didn't fear God. He never put one man above another. He didn't, when somebody fancy was in front of him, wealthy, he didn't regard that. Somebody poor, he didn't regard that. But this widow just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. I got this lawsuit. I want this suit settled. I want my enemy avenged. I want this business settled. And she kept coming. She didn't grow weary till she got what she wanted. And that's why we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And you know, praying always and not fainting is evidence of faith. Evidence of faith. Faith. How many times have we prayed for our health and then our health wouldn't change? How many times have we prayed for our children and yet our children's unconverted? Are we going to quit praying? No. We prayed again for them tonight. We're going to get weary in this, but we're going to faint in our prayers for our children? Are we going to faint in our prayers for the church? Are we going to faint in our prayers for one another? We're going to faint in our prayers for those who are sick? We're going to faint in our prayers for the needs of people when they mention them to us? Are we going to... No. No. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust God. We're going to keep on keeping on. And men ought always to pray and not faint. Keep on praying. Keep on desiring. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. God said, I shall not God, in verse 7, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night, day and night. Though we bear long with them, we count the long suffering of God to be salvation. The longer He waits before He comes, the longer we got to pray, the longer we pray for our children. If there's life, there's hope. And we shall receive. Just keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on coming. That's all we'll receive in due season. And then prayer is a profitable thing. If an unjust judge does this for a widow, an unjust judge does it for a widow, what do you think God will do for His elect? What do you think He'll do for us? If a son asks of his father bread, is He going to give him a stone? Huh? Would our Lord tell us to pray and always to pray if He did not intend to hear us and did not intend to give to us and did not intend to receive what we say and ask? Would He tell us always to pray and not to faint unless He intended to hear our prayers, answer our prayers, and meet our needs?
Right.
Huh? And oh my, and prayer is probable for now. Profitable for now. Look down here in verse 13. Prayer is profitable for right now. Right now, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Prayer is profitable right now. God, be merciful to me. God, hear me when I cry. And if prayer don't help anybody else, it helps you. It helps you. And it's profitable for the future. Look what our Lord told this fellow in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Now his prayer never justified him. God justified him. Christ justified him. But he asked for it. He sought it. He wanted it. He desired it. And once you've ever been justified, don't you always desire the Lord to come in on? And oh, it's profitable for our souls. This man went down to his house justified rather than the others. Prayer is profitable for our souls. Prayer is profitable for our minds. Our minds, when we start praying, is taken up with other people, taken up with God, taken up with the things of His Word. When you pray, oftentimes you'll pray and scriptures will come to your mind. And you'll talk to God in ways that you wouldn't talk to Him except
exalting him and magnifying and blessing him. And it's good for our affections. Draws out our hearts, draws out our souls.
And prayer is certainly profitable for the church. Profitable for the church. Oh, God, save you people in this place. Strengthen you people in this place. Call you people to grow in this place. Cause the church to flourish. Cause it to bring forth fruit. Cause it to be fruitful. Oh, we need peace. We need unity. Knit together in love. Prayer is profitable for the church. Prayer is profitable for our families. I can't imagine not praying for my son, my daughter, my grandchildren. I can't imagine not doing it. Can you? Can you imagine not praying for your children? I can't imagine not praying for you. Can't pray, imagine not giving thanks for Brother Henry and Scott Richardson. Just giving thanks for them. If I don't ask for the Lord to do anything for them, just to give thanks for them. Lord, thank you for them. Trailblazers. Princes in Israel. Mighty men of Israel. And our friends. Oh, our dear friends. Oh, and I'll tell you, when people find out you're a praying man, you know what they'll do? They'll start asking you to pray for them. They'll make requests, particular requests, when they are in need. And guess what happens? When they ask you to pray for them, that gives you an opportunity to talk to them. Gives you a great opportunity to speak to them. Let me close reading Psalm 116 over here with me. Psalm 116. Let's look at this together. Let me close with this. You know, our Lord, how many times did He talk about His prayers? As His custom was, He went across the brook Cedron and went into the garden to get sin, as His custom was to pray. But look in Psalm 116. Let's read the first 8 verses together. I love the Lord. What's this? Because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Oh, my, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Some of you fellas getting hard to hear, and this is the way you'll do. You go like that. Well, that means you're inclining your ear. You want to hear. Well, God says He's inclining His ear. He's inclining His ear. Therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to call on Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got up on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Watch what happened. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I love the Lord because He hath heard my cry. Oh, Father, our Father, blessed, blessed Father, how gracious, how gracious, how gracious and righteous and holy You are. How many times have You delivered our souls? How many times have You brought rest to our souls? How many times have You saved us when our souls were in turmoil and our minds were in doubt and fear and anxious? How many times, O Lord, has all we've been able to do is groan and just groan? And You've brought peace to our heart and our minds. And, oh Lord, we bless You for that. We bless You that You hear the prayers of Your people. You told us to pray, so, Lord, we do. Not because we have to, because we want to. We love to. We love to converse with You. We love to pour out our hearts to You. We love to expose ourselves to You. We love to come and offer our thanks. We love to come and bring our loved ones to You, our children, our brothers and sisters, and our grandchildren. knowing that you, O Lord, judge of all the earth, will do what's right. That we count your long-suffering to be salvation. Now meet the needs of this dear congregation tonight. Meet the needs of those who are not with us, who through affliction or tired or traveling or work are not with us. Oh Lord, be with them. Give them your strength and your mercy. See them safe with us again. We bless you and praise you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.